the fact is, you have to be true to yourself. And men and women recognize that. They recognize that if you set an objective, you accomplish the objective, and you use them as support vehicles, everything will go fine.
You're listening to the She Is Fierce podcast. I'm Kelly Youngs, the founder of She Is Fierce, a global women's network that elevates women's stories and gives you the tools and connections you need to live on purpose. We support female leaders and business owners who are ready to level up in business and life. We partner with and provide speakers and development programs for companies that believe in the power of supporting women on the rise. On our podcast, you'll hear the inspiring stories of professionals and entrepreneurs who have overcome challenges and built purpose-filled lives. And you'll get a behind-the-scenes look at my mission-driven business and learn how to brand and grow your own.
Hello, everyone. I am delighted to have Beth Kellum joining us today. Beth is a CEO with over 35 years of experience in corporate marketing positions across a variety of industries. She currently manages a high-growth entrepreneurial venture in the digital economy, a natural product sales website called Goodbye UTI. She is an expert in target audience insights, market opportunity analysis, brand and communication strategy, and data analytics, and consults with corporate clients across all industries. Today, we're going to be talking about overcoming obstacles in business and life, something that Beth is an expert in, as she has done so in the highly regulated medical industry. So first of all, let me welcome you. Hello, Beth. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kelly. It's wonderful to be with you. And everything you have to say is fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I'm honored to have you and excited to have this conversation. We spoke earlier about this theme of overcoming obstacles and how, you know, we're all dealing with obstacles in our lives. We have a lot going on, but you do it in an industry that has unique challenges. So I love and I'm excited to hear your perspective and how you do that and some of the things that you've actually had to deal with. So before we jump into all the examples, can I ask you to give a little bit of an introduction to yourself and your story?
Sure, absolutely. Thank you for, again, having me on your podcast, and hi to everybody out there. I guess I'll start with a simple overview. I worked in a traditional corporate marketing environment, and it was wonderful. I learned a ton, but underneath, I always had this entrepreneurial spirit. So anytime I had the opportunity to exit corporate America and go out and do something on my own, I took that step, and it didn't always go well. So when Kelly asked about obstacles, in one case, I actually took a job down in Arizona, left my wonderful corporate job, went down to Arizona, was the principal of a small startup down there, and I was back in my corporate job 6 months later. Why, you might ask? Well, I'm impulsive, and I know that. Impulsive people are also action-oriented people, I like to think, but in this case, I really hadn't done the homework on what the expectations were for me running the company. So, back to corporate, you know, back to the traditional, learned a ton, made great connections and friends. And then at one point, the head of an ad agency said to me, you know, I don't think anyone knows what they're getting for their ad spending. And I looked at him and I said, well, gee, you know, we have the internet now. It was brand new then. Why don't we take a shot at doing something? And he said, great, go for it. Well, I went for it, but I exited the company, the ad agency, to do that because I knew I had a lot to do. And, you know, taking these chances, everybody knows this probably, but it involves your credit card. I mean, I literally had to run up my credit card, much to the consternation of my husband, who was a doubting Thomas at the time. But we got out there, and I had one coworker with me, and the two of us just had this vision. And both of us said, let's just get started. So we did. And we took advantage of the internet, showed people ads, were able to give corporate clients some feedback on how their ads were doing and how they were winning the market. So luckily for me, and, you know, then there's the luck aspect of things in overcoming obstacles. You know, here we were kind of struggling. How are we going to kind of get these clients in? We need one big proof point, one big corporate client that we can trust and who trusts us. Well, an old friend from corporate America happened to be buying companies, and he said, Beth, I think what you're doing is incredible. Let's go for it. So he came in with the funding, and there we were. Luck. Just pure conversation over the telephone, and the next thing we knew, we were off to the races. And that was fantastic because that freed me up to do what I do better. I'm not really the type to sit and manage a team of people, and I think probably most of you are not either. That's something that's great if you have that talent, but some of us are really just so passion-oriented. We want to get in front of that target audience, tell them what we do, and have them join in our mission.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you, can you give us a little bit of a kind of a timeline of your career? Because you've done many different things, and I would love to kind of hear the journey that you went through.
Oh, well, okay, sure. You know, again, luck would have it that, you know, as a young person out of college, I got a job in a safe deposit, you know, a safe deposit area of a bank. And that was, in fact, Sylvester Stallone's mother was one of our clients. Anyway, it was fun. And just through sheer being in the right place at the right time, meeting people, et cetera, I was promoted through the banking industry to where I worked at Citibank for 12 years of my career. And that really changed everything, because there you have these high-powered executives that you get to network with and so on. And so Citi, and they also had an executive education program. So I was able to be groomed and learn how to speak in front of cameras as we're doing today. And all of that at Citibank's expense. It was a fabulous academy company to work for. I was very fortunate. So that was step one in banking. And then I was asked to take a job in Connecticut at an insurance company. And from there, back to banking again with Fleet and Bank of Boston, which is now Bank of America. And throughout all of that, again, just wonderful people, marketing. And then at one point on a weekend, I literally got a call from an ad agency, and they said, would you want to switch from a single industry, which is banking, to work at an ad agency? Now you'll have a variety of corporate clients. So again, impulsive, I took the opportunity, just jumped at it. Well, that was kind of interesting, Kelly, because the first week I was there, they said, oh, by the way, we have to do research. And I said, well, that's great. You know, I was used to taking my time and doing it very thoroughly and well for corporate America. And they said, because we have a client presentation next week. And I said, and so what kind of research are we doing? They said, oh, you know, the guy will have the camera in his baseball hat. We're going man on the street with the microphone.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, well, that's wonderful, and I love your energy about that, but that's not true market research. Well, anyway, long story short, I got to know how the agency worked, and it was literally a mile a minute. Totally different from corporate, very thoughtful, considered projects, et cetera. So that was an interesting experience as well.
Absolutely. I have worked in both of those different environments as well, and I know how different the mindset is, and the ability to kind of shift from one to the other is its own unique skill set, right?
That's right, exactly. And in a way, thank God I had that, because that was almost a stepping stone to being entrepreneurial, because one of the talents that you do need is multitasking, as you know.
Absolutely.
And the idea that, you know, we constantly had a barrage of clients that we were pitching new business to every single week, and we went from, say, the Wall Street Journal to Dunkin' Donuts the next day, you know, and you're just vacillating across all these categories. Fabulous, wonderful, fun experience, but, you know, it's taxing.
Absolutely.
It's good training. Yeah.
So today you are an entrepreneur. You mm-hmm. have had many different entrepreneurial adventures, and you have a new-ish business, Goodbye UTI. So can you tell us a little bit about what you do there?
Yes, I'm a one-man band. I am the sole employee and owner of the company, and I like to think of it as kind of a plug-and-play platform. So, you know, again, this was one of those impulsive decisions. I was very sick myself with urinary tract infections after taking antibiotics for a long time for another problem. And so I went to my nephew, who was a doctor of pharmacy, after reading a lot online, and I said, there seems to be a new natural product out there that someone could take instead of antibiotics. And he said, yes, and he got out his little phone and did a calculation right there at our family offsite, and he said, I can do this for you, Aunt Beth, for $7. And I thought, well, I know it sells for $20. I've seen it online. Let's go for it. So again, with absolutely no experience in this category, I thought, well, how hard can it be? You know, you set up a website, you put up the sign, and you're off to the races. Well, it wasn't exactly that simple, Kelly. You know, as most things, you know, you realize as you get into it. But in a way, you know, I have to say this impulsive thing is something that drives entrepreneurs forward. Yeah, they don't know what's over the horizon, but they're willing to take that chance and that risk and push forward with their vision. And for me, this was purpose-driven in a way that was important. For me, I've always loved working with older people. And at the time, we started out with caregiver.com. And there we were talking to people who were professional caregivers, caregivers at home for people who are sick, but it's about older people. It's about seniors. And these poor people get a UTI and it's very serious. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we started. It was so easy to market to them because it was like marketing to your grandparents. You know, the poor things are in the assisted living facilities. This happens. They don't know it. And all of a sudden they have this terrible thing called delirium that puts them in the hospital. Some of them even get so far as to have sepsis and die. 27,000 people die a year as a result of a simple urinary tract infection. So anyway, caregiver.com, one day it was like that old ad that you saw for the internet where the people are looking at the screen and they start seeing the sales clicking up. We had that experience because through caregiver.com, after a few days, click, 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 caregivers were buying this because it's such a recognized problem. And it's funny because it's almost anyone I talk to out there, young or old, says either their grandmother, their mother, somebody has had this experience in their past. And so it was like, great, we can get out there and help these people. Because the simple truth is antibiotics are no longer working the way they used to. You know, this was invented back in the 30s with penicillin, and antibiotics were great through the 90s. And then they began to notice in the early 2000s, people were over-medicated with antibiotics, and so they became resistant. So today, the truth is, here's a big statistic for you. If someone goes to their doctor and gets an antibiotic for a urinary tract infection, 40% of those people will be back in the doctor's office within a month with the same problem. That's how bad things are. And it's growing because in this industry, antibiotics are not something that pharmaceutical companies or biotechs want to work on. Why? Because it doesn't make them any money. What they're interested in is cancer drugs, right? And things like that. So antibiotics have kind of fallen away. There's nothing to replace them right now. And so all the more important is to have a natural product that people can use.
Yeah. So, I can hear your passion as you are sharing your story, and you brought up the theme of purpose. So I want to just explore that with you a little bit and ask you, in the context of what you're doing today, right, with Goodbye UTI, but also throughout your career, what does that idea of purpose mean to you, and how do you bring that into what you do?
I can only speak as a market researcher. It's about connecting with people, right? And so connecting with real people, which I do every day by phone since I'm the only employee, either through chat on our website or on the phone, and hearing their stories and asking for help. You know, I've been to the doctor, they explained the whole situation to me. And so in this particular instance, purpose is helping people feel better. And it's such a gratifying experience to have people write to you and say, for years I've struggled with this and now I'm feeling better. So, you know, I often think I should be doing more with people in impoverished countries and things like that. But I guess the answer is start small where you can make a difference and then maybe expand. Like we're thinking now of expanding our offering free to countries in Africa and also in Haiti, where the situation is so dire. So that is a next step for us, Kelly. We're really working toward what we call, I guess you would call it purpose-driven goals to help women in Africa and also in Haiti get better. And we're happy to send our product over there for free because it makes us all feel so much better.
Yeah, I think that's a really powerful intention mm-hmm. and a beautiful way to bring that purpose into what you're doing both. And I love how you've kind of illustrated two examples, right? So one is running a business where, yes, you are trying to make a profit because you are a business owner and you're a real human person with bills, mm-hmm. but also having intention behind it, having a purpose behind it that is meaningful to you beyond mm-hmm. just the revenue coming in. And that you have that wonderful experience of people reaching back out to you to say, this was actually transformative to me.
Yeah,
I think that's a beautiful experience and a beautiful story. So I appreciate you sharing it. Now, I want to ask you, and you might say that I just answered it, right, in what I said, mm-hmm. but what keeps you motivated? So as we kind of look at this idea of overcoming challenges, and actually, let me take a step back and ask you, will you share some of the stories around how you have experienced challenges in your current role, especially in the medical industry, but just challenges in general?
Yes. There's a simple level of online. So this is an online business, purely online. I know the Pink Stork is somebody who attends and sponsors your events, and I have an incredible admiration for what they've accomplished. And I look at them and I say, you know, kudos to them because they have brick and mortar. I see the store, the warehouse and the store that they have there, and they're in Walmart and Target. We aren't there yet. I'd love to graduate to that level. I'd really, truly, and I hope someday we do. But we're totally an online business right now, and we are selling on Amazon, and we're selling on a retail store called Goodbye UTI. And, you know, at the most fundamental level, just internet marketing is a challenge in itself. The rules are changing every day. And, you know, again, I thought, oh, so simple, put up a little shop. And, you know, the agency was wonderful and they helped me get it launched. And we all sat back and relaxed. Well, there's no relaxing in this environment because Google's constantly changing the ad rules. And you know, Shopify is bringing in new things all the time, new plug and play tools that you can put into your retail store. You know, why don't you connect with influencers? You know, so your day is constantly absorbed with all these distractions of what they call novelty innovations. It's wonderful that they're bringing these things out, but how do you get to understand it all? You know, and you as a business owner really have to. You can't just sort of turn it over to someone else and say, well, I think I'd like to try that, because it all involves money. It all involves time. It involves an ad agency's time. So there's the whole scope of what's happening in the internet world that's challenging to begin with. Then within the advertising in the medical world, the rules and regulations that the government keeps putting in place and that they have to adhere to, both Google and Facebook, are stringent. And so every day they're getting new rules and they're passing it down. And that limits what I can do. So in the beginning, Google literally blacklisted our website. They said, you are a pseudo pharmaceutical company, which is a made up term, by the way, there's no such thing. But anyway, they said, you do not have a pharmaceutical license and you're a retailer of products that are not proven and approved by the FDA. So we had to do some workarounds, and the ad agency they're as passionate as I am, I have to say, and I'm thankful for that. So we created something called content marketing, where we sent people to an education site, mm-hmm. education site, where literally women would read articles about UTIs that they didn't know about, why are antibiotics not working, and so on and so forth. And so we wrote blog after blog, sent them from Facebook there, they got educated, and then we had ads running along the side as the sponsor of the site, and voila, we were in the business all of a sudden. And I think women appreciated the education first anyway. You know, there are a lot of people hawking a lot of natural supplements out there, and you have to be careful. So the second thing we did to build trust, because trust is really important when you're putting something in your body, is we hired someone you may all know, Linda Dumas, as our pharmacist. And she became our company spokesperson, and she got out there and endorsed our products as a pharmacist, saying they're safe, they're natural, and they work as well as antibiotics. So we were thrilled to have Linda on board, and she's been an incredible advocate for our business and a wonderful spokesperson. So little things like this that just come along as opportunities to overcome what are the constant barriers being thrown up in front of you in this day-to-day world called surviving the internet.
Well, as somebody who works in the internet space, I have so much empathy for you, because I know, as you said, things are always changing. You're constantly having to adapt. And especially as a small business owner, right? And as you said, like as a solopreneur or even somebody who has a small team, it can often become overwhelming because you are managing and also trying to adapt to outside factors that you don't have any control over and you can't necessarily anticipate. So do you have any advice for the women listening to this on how to manage that from a mindset perspective, right? So there are practical things you have to do, but also so much of success is around your mindset. Mm-hmm. How do you handle that, and what advice do you have for the women listening?
Mindset-wise, it is, in my opinion, for me personally, I can only speak for myself, it is about never letting my customers down. And so there have been dark days, I'll admit that readily, and I think about the women and men, and there are men out there, who have called and we've become friends. And so the whole idea of, and there have been times when literally I've lost so much money month after month, and, you know, I worry about what the IRS is going to say because, you know, how long can you do this? Losing money. Well, I'm not losing money because I actually invested it from my retirement savings. But in any case, the mindset part is about the customers. And so for me, I have a plan B, and the plan B is in the event that I can no longer make this a viable business. I have a company I've identified up in Utah, wonderful people who sell similar products to mine, all natural, all organic, and who I'm starting to do more business with, to the point that if I can't continue this myself, I have asked them to help take over the business so that I can transfer my customers to a soft landing where they'll continue to get the same products and they'll be supported in the way that I would support them, because these people are just fabulous and purpose-driven as I am. So for me, having a plan B is always important, knowing where at one point you're going to step away, either through retirement successfully or through some other adversarial situation which you can't handle. And, you know, it's okay to be prepared for that, I think, because things happen. COVID was an example. Look how many poor businesses, small and large, went out just because the whole environment changed, and you couldn't have anticipated that. So I have the ultimate empathy, and COVID, it did impact our business as well, but certainly not the way it impacted others. So I don't know if that answers your question enough, Kelly.
It does, and I love that part of your answer was around your exit strategy, mm-hmm. right? So I think that that is a very sophisticated way to look at overcoming objections, and it's something that comes with experience and knowing that not every, right, failure is inevitable in different situations, mm-hmm. and we have small failures and we have big failures, and having a plan B, as you said, but also having a strategy for what is it that you actually want, right? Going back to your conversation mm-hmm. around purpose, what is your goal out of what you're doing, both internally and then externally? So I think that you sum that up really beautifully. Is there anything, you know, more on a simpler day-to-day level? So when you encounter a challenge and you know, I have to get this thing done by tomorrow, or there's this, you know, distribution issue, or COVID happens, right? Mm-hmm. Something that is unexpected. Is there anything that you use as a tool to be able to kind of sustain your level of energy and to continue moving forward when things get hard?
Well, I'm fortunate to have an ad agency partner who, through thick and thin, it has always been a listening ear, coming up with solutions. So example was, you know, we were out of stock a couple of times. So there are days where you're selling nothing. Imagine. Mm-hmm. And so you're getting through this time with, you know, communications that they helped us develop out there to the customer base, explaining what we're doing. And once we're back in, which will be in this time frame, we'll be giving you a free sample. I don't mind sacrificing the profitability of the company to keep the customer happy and to apologize. There are times you're going to have to apologize, and there's no shame in that. It happens, and everybody understood, especially around COVID, the shortages of things like simple things like containers for our products just weren't here. Mm-hmm. I will say that in business, there are two people, aside from our ad agency partner, that I wish I could have on my team. I can't afford these people at this point, but if I were to give advice, it would be get a great salesperson, a person who has a person that's not something I have, and know your strengths and weaknesses. Mine are analytical and sort of the back office, the writing the copy for the ads and the technical blogs and such. I'm a behind the scenes person now. I wasn't always, but I am. And having a wonderful, bright-minded, shiny, wonderful salesperson that can get out there and network and talk about your product and influence people, whether it be public supermarket or Target or whatever, would be ideal. So that's one person. And then the other person, I guess, would be a professional. So having a doctor, in my case, on a little board, I've been advised that that would have been a good thing and always something I can do today. But having a friend or family member who's a professional who can give you the guidance and advice, some kind of advisory capacity, it gives them some kind of small incentive and put them on your board. But listening to somebody else who can guide you along, who has perhaps experience in areas that you don't have, is really, really valuable. So those are the two essential people that if I could do that today, and I probably will over the next couple of months, are enhancements to any well-rounded business.
Mm. Yeah, I completely agree. And I want to talk a little bit about the tools that you have used to be successful so far. So I know that, you know, we talked about how you're passionate you are about your mission, but you also have shared a perspective of if you have a good elevator pitch and if you keep going, the world will gradually come to you. So can you talk a little bit about what that means to you and how you have both come across that perspective or kind of grown that perspective, but also how you live that out in your business?
Well, elevator pitch is always great. You know, the whole idea of condensing everything into a simple one line that gives people the idea that you have something that's really well needed in the marketplace, et cetera, is key, as we all know as marketers. So that's great. Tools that we use, I'm not sure I used. I'll tell you this. This is really an important piece of information. As you would expect me to have done when I started the business, one tool I used is market research. It's cheap and cheerful today. You can get it. There's SurveyMonkey, and you can get out there and overnight, you can put questions in front of a target audience nationwide and get answers. And so I did that because I needed to know how many women had this problem, how many millions of women and men, had they ever heard of D-Manos, this natural product I started with. And by the way, we've expanded now into four different products and natural products in this area. But to start the business, you need to know how big your target audience is, who they are, and what they know and what they don't know. So that was number one. second thing was, what's the competition? That's the second rail of a good marketing program, is you've got to understand who's out there. We had one, what I call full service, strong competitor. And then there were a lot of little competitors who were selling little pieces of the whole proposition, but not the whole solution to getting rid of a UTI. So I thought that was pretty good, you know, low competition, 26 million people per year market size, and is it growing? Well, the antibiotic crisis is getting worse every year, and there's still no solution in sight. That's a good thing for me. It's a bad thing for people, unfortunately. But they are interested in switching to a natural solution if it works, and it does. And you got to keep digging and bringing that research out, because the FDA is not going to give you a free pass. In fact, now I've heard they want clinical trials for all natural supplements. A clinical trial will cost millions of dollars. So we keep digging up research that's already out there from Europe, China, and other places, and putting it in our database, which is out on, it's available to the public at Understanding UTIs. And there they can read all the science that's been done behind this. So our FDA is a little narrow, and people may have gathered that from what happened with COVID. So you have to do workarounds all the time. I guess that's the theme here today, ultimately, Kelly, is workarounds. It's, you know, if one door closes, you've got to figure out the path to the next door, because there is one. There always will be. You just got to look for it. And again, I thank my agency for helping me get through all of this, because after all, it's me and them. There are two of them and me. And the three of us, we're doing all right.
Yeah. So throughout your career, so in everything that you're doing today as an entrepreneur, but also throughout your career, is there a characteristic that you have that you think has really helped you to succeed? Something that, you know, is intrinsic to who you are that you think has really helped you to be successful?
I'm going to blame it on a horoscope. I'm an Aries.
And, okay.
Aries is the ram, and the ram doesn't accept anything. They just keep butting forward. It's a personality trait that I'm fortunate to have. Taurus people have it too, from what I've noticed. I think the entrepreneurial piece, as opposed to succeeding in corporate America, requires a whole different personality type. And so that may sound like a little bit of a woo-woo solution to your question, but the truth of the matter is, it is a personality I've always had, being the oldest of six in the family. You know, I think those things combined give you sort of this, I can do a thing and don't tell me I can't thing, you know, and as much as I love my husband, I mean, he's been questioning every single venture I've started, you know, are you sure you want to do that? Are you sure you want to take this on? And every day I have the pleasure of being able to report to him the reviews that we're getting from customers and saying, look at this, Larry, you know, you cannot get any amount of money that would reimburse you for the fact that people love us, they're thanking us, and what else is there?
I love that. So I'm a Taurus, so I'm glad that I have similar characteristics to you. I don't know much about horoscopes and all of that, so I'm going to reframe it only for myself because I don't know enough, as it sounds like determination. Yeah, is that
right?
Is that fair?
Correct. Yes, yeah. It is determination through thick and thin. And, you know, we've talked about the dark days. And, I think back to the other venture I had where the wonderful entrepreneur came in and bought our company back when we were doing the advertising thing. And, you know, there were times there where I was out on the road pitching new business and things were happening back in the organization that I wasn't particularly happy with. There were things that caused me to leave that company ultimately, and it's the company I founded, so that's kind of strange. But you read about this all the time with entrepreneurs. You read that, you know, ultimately they're so passionate about what they do and they have such a vision about it that often the people who they brought on board just are not that passionate about these things. They're quiet quitting, or they're taking the money and running, or whatever they're doing. And so it's time then to recognize that and move on. And so you'll always find a group of people who love who you are and what you do and have the same spirit. You can find them in any group. And I know because I went to one, your first event there, for me, the first event, Kelly, and at my table, I found two very common spirited people that I loved immediately. And I thought, well, you know, these are the kinds of people you want to go out and have lunch with. And they, together with you, will come up with wonderful solutions and support. That's really important. Just the whole emotional support out there for what you're trying to do and, you know, supporting your business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I have to say that leads so perfectly into my next question, which is a more self-serving question. And that is just to ask you, how has She Is Fierce impacted you, or what words can you share about your experience with She Is Fierce?
Well, my first impression is, how do you do it? How do you put on an event like that? The one that I attended was at the Treasury downtown, and every facet of that event was just so incredible. I'd never been to one that had so many different things going on and so many levels of learning all in one simple afternoon. My goodness. So I enjoyed the presentation from the young woman who was an accountant, I believe. She had a financial background, and she was just so impressive with the simplicity of the solution that she'd come up with as a business owner and presenting that to us. And I was sorry because I apparently missed something great that Linda Dumas told me about how to be a self-promoter in another room. So she updated me on that. So the point is, Kelly, you're bringing together incredible resources and the speakers from the TV station up in Jacksonville. So these are successful people, people learning, people trying to be successful. I love it all. I love the dimension of it, and I love all the work that you're doing. So I can't wait to go to the next one.
Well, thank you so much. That was very kind of you. Well, as we kind of wrap up our conversation, I want to ask you a very broad question, and that is, what words of wisdom do you have, whether they're related to our conversation about overcoming objections, or just general words of wisdom do you have for women out there in the world that you would like to share? Something that you wish women knew.
Yeah, you know, we hear a lot today about things that are challenges for women in particular. I've always said it's never been a problem for me personally. The fact is, you have to be true to yourself. And men and women recognize that. They recognize that if you set an objective, you accomplish the objective, and you use them as support vehicles, everything will go fine. So really, it's about just listening. In my business, it's been a lot about listening, and then moving forward and keeping it in front of you always. And call somebody, because this is, again, the springboards to everything that I ended up doing entrepreneurially were always supported by someone that I knew out there who said, well, I can help you because we can do X or Y. So a simple phone call to somebody, just having a conversation, probably will lead you to something that will help you.
Yeah, the beautiful words of wisdom. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Beth Kellum, I am so grateful today for your time, for your wisdom, and for your story about overcoming objections, overcoming challenges, and kind of taking us through your personal journey, but also giving us a little bit of perspective on how each of us can approach all of the different challenges that are coming our ways in the future. So thank you again, Beth. I am so grateful to you, and I hope that everybody will check out your entrepreneurial venture at goodbye-uti.com.
Thank you, Kelly. This has been wonderful. I appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the She Is Fierce podcast. Join our community of fierce female leaders and women on the rise who are ready to level up, make more money, find more joy, and make their mark in the world inside our She Is Fierce membership, our high-level CEO mastermind circle for entrepreneurs, or at one of our sold-out live events. Choose how you want to get involved at sheisfiercehq.com.